You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So we find ourselves in the second week of Advent, these weeks leading up to Christmas, where we anticipate and expect and we wait for the excitement of Christmas. And for this week and next week, we've got just this mini-series that we're going to be looking at. And we've titled it Jesus in the Carols. And this week and next week, it's myself this week. Aubrey is going to be speaking next week. We've just picked a different carol, and we're just going to look at what we discover about Jesus within the words of the carol. And, you know, Advent should have a double edge to it. You know, so often we just look at one aspect of Advent if we're not careful, and we tend to look back. That's our natural way of doing it. We look back at Jesus' first coming. But Advent is not just looking at the first coming of Jesus, but really we should be looking at the second coming of Jesus as well. You know, he promises that he is going to return one day. And in many ways, Advent reminds us that we live in the gap. We live in the gap between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And so the carol I've chosen today, or the Advent carol I've chosen for us to think about today, is one. This one, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's one that we don't often sing. I think it's a wonderful song. The reason I've chosen it is that I think it does capture these two aspects of Advent. So the first thing I want us to think about this morning, having sung that carol, is this, is that Jesus came at just the right time. It says, doesn't it, in the first line of that carol, Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. And Advent is our reminder that Jesus did come. And he was long expected. The people were waiting. They were expecting the Messiah to come, the one who would set them free. And he came at just the right time. You see, God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent Jesus to earth that first time. He knew when to send him. He knew where to send him. He knew what Jesus would face once he got to earth. He knew how it would end up for Jesus. God had it all planned. In our reading that Jane gave us, it says in Romans 5, it says this, At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time. You know, I don't know why God chose exactly that part of history to send Jesus. But this verse tells me that I know it was at just the right time, and that I need to trust God that he sent Jesus at the right time. What we do know is that it was a spiritually dark time for people. You know, there's a gap of approximately 400 years between the last part of the Old Testament being written and the first part, the Gospels of the New Testament, being written. It's a time where people say that God was silent. Spiritually dark time. Where is God? Where's he gone? As one writer puts it, it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. A wonderful way of looking at it. It got darker and darker during those 400 years. Where is God? But at just the right time, Jesus is born. And we can see that in Romans 5, can't we? How does it describe us at that time? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. People are powerless. We still are today. We can't save ourselves. That was true back then as well, when they were waiting for Jesus to come. There was nothing they could do spiritually for themselves. They needed God. They needed a Messiah. They needed Jesus. They were powerless. They were ungodly, dishonouring God, much as people do today. Haven't got time for Him, ignoring Him, getting about their own business. Spiritually dark, powerless and ungodly. And you can imagine back then, as they were waiting for Jesus, for the Messiah to come, that their heart cry might be exactly this: come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sin, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. See, Jesus arrived at just the right time. Let us hold on to that truth today. You know, it's important for those of us who are in the middle of difficult times, and maybe right now that's all of us. We need to know that Jesus arrives at just the right time. Maybe you're facing particular health issues at the moment. Maybe you're facing a bereavement or a loss. Maybe a relationship that is in a mess and you wonder, can it be mended? Maybe financial strain and stress is upon you. Could be one of a number of things. You know, life can make us ask, God, where are you? Why have you gone silent? Situations we face can make us think, it's getting darker and darker. We need to hold on to the fact that when it gets darker and darker, Jesus arrives. And in fact, what we find out is that He's been there all along. God's timing is perfect. He is sovereign. He is King. He's with us in those difficult and dark times. And at just the right time, He can reach in and turn things around. We might be asking, where are you? When is this situation going to change? And often it's only in retrospect, it's in the rearview mirror, that we look back and see, that's why He chose that time. Let's keep trusting, let's keep holding on, that God's timing is perfect. I'm going to pause and let's pray together, shall we? And maybe you want to pray with me that first verse of the carol we've sung already. And maybe you want to think about what life's like for you at the moment, and maybe some of those difficult and dark times that you face. And let's pray together. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Come, Jesus. Into the difficulties in my life. It's getting darker and darker. You were born to set your people free. Would you bring freedom into my life, Jesus? From my fear, from my sin, would you release me? Jesus, let me find my rest in Thee. Come, long expected Jesus. Thank You that Your timing is perfect. Amen. Well, I said that this carol looks at both aspects of Advent, Jesus' first coming, and it also looks at his second coming as well. And it does that in verse 2 of the carol, where it says this: "By thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne." This picture that Jesus is gathering, and one day when he comes back, he's going to gather his people to him, and we will be with him as he reigns as king on his throne. So this is the second thing we're going to think about today, is that Jesus is coming again, and it's going to be at just the right time. But it's going to be very different when Jesus comes again to how he first came. You know, if the first time Jesus came was kind of under the radar a bit in that small town of Bethlehem that wasn't well known and born in a manger to an unknown girl, you know, if he was under the radar that time, when he comes again, it will be absolutely different, as opposite as you could get. And Jane is going to read to us again, this time from Revelation 19. And this is the picture of Jesus when he returns.
"I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
It's interesting how we choose to picture Jesus in our minds, isn't it? You know, if I was to ask you, you know, just to hold a picture of Jesus in your head, I wonder what picture it would be. Perhaps it would be his birth, given the time of year it is. Maybe it would be his life, or him performing one of his miracles. Maybe it would be him teaching at a certain time. Maybe it could be his death, and you picture him on the cross, or his resurrection. You know, the truth is, very few of us, if any, would have this picture that James read in our minds of Jesus. The reason is that, in some ways, our minds can't cope with a picture of Jesus, especially that one from Revelation 19, because that's quite a ferocious Jesus, isn't it, that we read there? Ripping heaven open and riding on a white horse, leading the armies of heaven behind him, flames coming from his eyes. It tells us there's a sword coming from his mouth, and on his thigh is a tattoo that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a ferocious, it's a quite a scary, kind of powerful picture of Jesus. You know, this isn't Jesus wrapped in swaddling bands, but Jesus wearing a robe dipped in blood. It's an incredible, mind-blowing picture of Jesus. And what does it tell us that he's coming to do in Revelation 19? It says this: that with justice he judges and wages war. It's difficult, isn't it? It's a hard picture of Jesus coming in this way, judging, we're told, the living and the dead. It's a difficult, hard thing for us to get our minds round, that those who don't know him will be judged and will be lost forever. You know, I wish it was different. I wish that this, in some ways, wasn't the picture of Jesus returning. I wish it was easier, but I can't, because it says so in this book. This is what it tells us Jesus will come back like. And I have made a decision years ago that what I read in this book, I will choose to believe. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging I find it, that I would choose to believe what it says here and that I would choose to teach it and keep it as part of my life. And when I find bits that are difficult, or when I find bits that maybe I don't automatically agree with, I assume there's a problem with me, not with this book. And so when I read here that Jesus is coming back and he's going to judge the living and the dead, I find that difficult, but I choose to believe it. Jesus is coming back as a judge. And there's two quick thoughts that I want us to spend some time on with that idea. The first one is this. I want to ask us the question, are you ready for Jesus' return? He is coming back. And it's going to be sudden. We won't be expecting it. He will suddenly come back. Jesus paints the picture this way in Matthew 24. He's talking to his disciples and groups of people around him, and he compares his second coming as being like the time of Noah. You can read it there on the screen. And Jesus says that, you know, at the time of Noah, when he was building his ark, waiting for a flood to come, you know, people didn't believe him. They didn't believe that a flood was going to come. And so people carried on eating and drinking and getting married and having parties and going to work and watching Netflix and surfing the internet and going shopping and all the rest of it. And suddenly he says the flood comes, and they were oblivious to it, and they are taken away by the flood. Those who are in the ark are saved. And Jesus says it's going to be like that when I come back. Don't be one of the oblivious people who aren't expecting him to return. Be someone who is ready. Be someone who is in the ark. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus? Will you be in him, in Christ, in the ark? Jesus is our ark. He is our salvation. Advent reminds us that the long expected Jesus will return one day suddenly. Are you ready for that? You can say to Jesus today, Jesus, you are long and expected. You are coming back one day. And you can use the words of that hymn that we've sung. You can say to him, Jesus, from my fear and from my sin, I get it wrong, I'm a sinner, release me. Let me find my rest in thee. In other words, let me find my salvation in you. You can pray that prayer now and ask him to come into your life. And at that moment, it's like you step into the ark and you're saved. And you're saved. Don't be left wondering. Make that decision today. Are you ready for Jesus coming back? The second thing, and the final thing I want to say this morning, is this, is that we should look forward to Jesus' return. We shouldn't be in fear of it. We shouldn't be in fear of it. Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. But for those of us that know him, for those of us that are in him, who have asked him to be our Lord and Saviour, we will be judged, but we are covered by him. And when he comes back, we can know him by his name. And we're told what his name is in Revelation 19. We're told that he is faithful and true. Jane read that to us earlier, that Jesus is riding on this white horse and the sword is coming out of his mouth and the flames are coming out of his eyes. But his name is faithful and true. You see, it's Jesus' overwhelming love that is driving him to come back one day. His faithful and true love. You know, those of us who are parents and we've got our kids, and our love is faithful and true to our kids, but we know that that overwhelming faithful and true love towards our kids makes us call out in them what is good and what we see that is good and right, and we praise them. But that overwhelming love as well also makes us call out what is bad in them. And we ask them to stop, and we ask them to change their ways, and we discipline them. And it's that same love that Jesus is showing and will show his creation one day when he comes back. He will call out what's good, but he will judge and he will call out what is bad as well. And that is good news. And we can look forward to it, because in that moment, Jesus is going to renew and cleanse the world that he created. He is going to make all things new as he judges. That's good, because I look at the world at the moment and I don't like a lot of what I see. A lot of what I see, and it's probably the same with you, breaks my heart. And I want things to be put right. I want there to be justice. I want someone who is faithful and true to come and judge it and put it right. And that is what Jesus is going to do one day. And that's why I'm looking forward to his return. There is so much wrong. There is injustice. There is fear. There is oppression. There is abuse. There is inequality. There is war. There is famine. Jesus promised to come back, and he's going to make it new. The best is yet to come. That's why you and I can look forward to his returning. We need not fear if we are in him. We can look forward to him and seeing his new creation and enjoying the world as it should be. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. It's going to be sudden. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to his return? Let's pray together, shall we? And as we pray together, maybe you want to put your hands out. It's just a way of opening yourself up to what Jesus wants to do in you. What he wants to say to you. And Jesus, we look forward at this Advent time to your returning. You are long expected. Thank you, Jesus, that you are going to come back to judge the living and the dead. And thank you that we can trust you with that role. Because you are perfect. You are right. You're a good judge. Help us to be ready for your return. And help us to look forward to your return too. In Jesus' name. Amen.